Welcome to My on Mondays, an explorative approach to the possessive my through narratives, art, and sound. Each Monday brings a new creation and unique perspective. My on Mondays is brought to you by Ming Studios, a contemporary art space and international artist residency program dedicated to the exhibition, experience, and exploration of arts and culture. Along with exhibiting artists from around the world, Ming also serves the community by hosting innovative programs including performances, workshops, screenings, readings, artist talks, and other cultural activities. For more information, or if you'd like to participate in My on Mondays, you can visit our website at mingstudios.org. Hello, and welcome to the 123rd episode of My on Mondays. My guest for today's artist interview is British actor Daniel Tony, who I had the pleasure of seeing perform his original one-man show, Mine, or Unapologetically Autistic, this past October at Etc. Theatre in London. Daniel trained at East 15 Acting School and also studied at the University of Exeter. His first appearance was as a musical director and co-composer for the original musical Unicorns Are Red, which debuted at Exeter's Barnfield Theatre. He also co-founded the theatre company Stage Noir with his fellow East 15ers and performed their original show, An Unexpected Tale in Smoky Midtown, at the Canal Café Theatre, where it received mixed reviews to sell-out audiences. Mine, or Unapologetically Autistic, premiered at the 2023 Camden Fringe Festival, where it received positive feedback from both neurotypical and neurodiverse audience members. The show enjoyed a short run at the Etc. Theatre at the end of 2023, and now he's bringing it to the Bridge House Theatre from the 4th to 6th of April this year. His acting credits also include Funny Woman at Sky Arts, Holding Fire at Four Fig Theatre, and the importance of being Ernest at Matchbox Theatre. So I saw you at Etc. Theatre, which was such a great theatre, just a tiny little, for those people who I'm sure there will be a lot of our listeners who have never heard of it before, it's just a tiny little black box theatre above a pub in Camden. And I was so pleased. And so, you know, the premise of your performance is about being autistic and what that's like for you. And I'm just really curious, at the beginning when you were sort of pitching the show to people, what was the reaction?
Initially, when I started talking about the concept of the show, that it was just sort of going to be me sort of recounting a lot of my experiences growing up and sort of making these observations about my neurotype, it did spark quite a bit of interest with people, just because I think it's a side, it was a side of autism that's sort of never really been shown before. Mm-hmm. Because as I'm sure you maybe saw, like saw on posters and things with me promoting the show, I describe it as a candid, blunt but humorous take on what it means to grow up on the autistic spectrum. Mm-hmm. because there's always that stereotype to sort of tread on eggshells like around the subject. But
yeah,
I wrote this show with the observation of with the intention of sort of inviting the audience to observe these experiences as I am. So mm-hmm. a case of me just saying, like, you know, I have autism, I'm making these observations, I have these opinions about it, and I'm inviting you as the audience to join in. You can laugh with me, you can feel upset for me, you can sort of follow me along this journey without sort of feeling like you need to be careful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really great point. I have other people on the autism spectrum in my life, but I still find myself sort of like, oh, am I saying the right thing? Should I, you know, how should I word this? And so it was well received from the beginning.
Quite a bit. Yeah. So the show started off is, I don't know if you have like an equivalent over where you are, but we have like smaller performance festivals, in London every year called the Camden Fringe Festival.
Okay.
It's a bit like the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, the big mm-hmm. one up in Scotland.
Yeah.
But on a little bit of a smaller scale, and a sort of a similar premise. Artists can apply to theatres to showcase their work or to show a show that's been on in the past before. So literally this, it was a year of sort of trying to, I knew I just wanted to write something and just have a go at doing something. Mm-hmm. And there's that saying, write about what you know. What do I know about autism growing up with it and my experiences, and that they might not be, and they might be, you know, a bit, they might have a sort of uniqueness to them. So I thought it might be worth sort of seeing how this would fare. Mm-hmm. And like for sort of like a trial run at the Camden Fringe Festival.
I think I expressed this to you before, that I love seeing autism as it's coming in more into mainstream awareness, seeing it explored through art. And I think a lot of people have a very kind of stereotypical idea of autistic people and sort of equate it with mathematicians and scientists and people who are very sort of left-brained, rigid. And so I'm just curious about what your earliest memories are of being drawn to the arts.
Earliest memory, definitely the experience that springs to mind is probably when I was in junior school or primary school, as we call it over mm-hmm. here. And I think it was when we had like a traveling circus come into our school to like do like a small like fairy tale-ish performance. And I was asked, I volunteered to go up and I'd be their sort of assistant, as it were, and do like a few little funny skits with them. Quite a long time. But then sort of at the end, when we finished, I had loads of people sort of just coming up to me and going, oh, well done, like Danny, like you were really good. Uh-huh. And like even a few of the older kids who I was absolutely terrified of came up to me and they were like, oh, well done, well, like, that was brilliant, Dan, well done, you're really good. And, you know, to sort of get that feeling of sort of joy in other people from doing something artistic, that sort of really sort of stuck with me. And it's sort of been a big contributing factor to the person I am now. I don't know who I'd be now if I hadn't had that experience in school. And then it just sort of all stuck with me. And it led me to be who I am. It led me to go on to train to become an actor.
Did you continue with that throughout school, or was it something that you, I don't know what the system is like there, but
so you can pursue the arts in high school, and then mm-hmm. I went to a college that specialized in the performing arts. That was mm-hmm. something I wanted to do, and then I went to study university to study my undergraduate degree, and then I went to acting school to study my master's. So it's sort of been like mm-hmm. it sort of led me down a sequence of events that sort of led me to where I am today. So
yeah,
and as someone sort of, you know, a little bit neurologically different than other people, sort of having a unique experience of those stages of life. So I mean, yeah. I'm sure you remember in the show I talked a lot about what it was like at school, the things I would do. I talked about like friendship groups and sort of like the cliquey people, or the people mm-hmm. that weren't as accepting of me.
Yeah.
University life, where people were a lot more accepting because I had that independence and sort of aspects of being independent when you're autistic. So it was almost like an evolution of sort of looking at how autism sort of develops through these different stages of life. And especially younger viewers can come and watch the show. Younger viewers that identify as autistic can come and watch the show. And one of the things I like is to sort of give them that sense of reassurance that, you know, it needn't be as bad or as daunting as you think it is. Sometimes it can be a really good experience.
Yeah. So I guess this leads me to one of my other questions, or maybe gives me another question that I hadn't thought of before. But, you know, everyone is very unique in their approach to whatever their art form is and the reasons why they do it. And, you know, like anyone, we're all multifaceted, and autism is only one part of who you are. Do you, I suppose my original question was more about what the essence is of what you're trying to get at with your creativity, or what you're most drawn to explore. But before we go into that, I guess I'm kind of curious, how central to your work do you feel like being autistic is?
I think I think sort of work like this or writing a show like this on the Spectrum is beneficial not just to the audience that I perform it for, but it's, I think it's also beneficial to myself as well. I was talking to a friend of mine and I was sort of saying that it's almost a sort of therapy, really, to sort of talk more openly about these experiences, you know, looking back on it as, you know, as an adult now, sort of looking back on that world I was in and sort of how I saw things a little bit differently. And I like it to benefit those who are autistic that come to see the show, but also those that are neurotypical as well. So, you know, for those who identify as autistic, you know, I like for my show to make them feel comfortable with who they are as people and to sort of inspire them to observe their own experiences with autism and to think to themselves that actually it's not, you know, it doesn't need to be viewed as a negative. And for those that are neurotypical, it's a chance to show people, it's just a chance to show them that autism is not as a taboo subject as it needs to be, and that it can be talked about in a relaxed and humorous way, sort of when appropriate. So I like to think that there's sort of little slivers in the show for everybody.
Yeah. And so the title of the show is Mine. And so when we're speaking, or unapologetically autistic. And so we're sort of referencing that show in particular, but you do all kinds of work. So aside from exploring theater arts as a neurodivergent person, what are some of the more general themes that you're drawn to explore?
I'm a sucker for like new writing. Like I love I love just going to see like new things on a whim. Like sometimes some of the best shows that I've seen are in like the smaller black box theatres that you saw the show in, like based around London, just because it's just art. It's just a struggling artist like trying to make their way in the city by sort of showcasing original work about themselves or as a smaller cast. So it's sort of interesting to sort of see the new things that come out of the woodworks in theatre like that.
Yeah. One thing that I mentioned earlier was that you're quite a bit younger than me, and in my generation, autism was something, I can't even remember when I first heard about it, but it's something that seems to just now be starting to come into mainstream awareness. And I mentioned in some of our correspondence before the interview that even in my own family, we're having realizations about people who, they're autistic. That's what's going on, you know?
Yeah, I remember like it all clicking into place a bit.
Yeah, and so I imagine that you've received a lot of feedback from the community, and I'm really curious what that's been like, what some of the engagement has been.
I mean, I'll be honest, a lot of the feedback I've been given, I'm actually surprised sort of at how positively received the show is. Because it's like when you try any new piece of work, you never know sort of how it's going to go unless you try it out. And, you know, I expected to do the show at the Canal Cafe Theatre, and I expected it just to absolutely suck. I didn't expect for it to sort of be as well received as it was. And then the fact that I got the chance to do it again, and I got loads of good feedback off those from the, you know, those from the autistic community, and even neurotypical people sort of saying how much they felt like they understood it a bit more. Like I've had lots of different comments. Like at one of the Etcetera shows, I'm trying to think if it was the one you went to see, but I had somebody come up to me after the show. And it was this woman and her partner, and one of them had just been recently diagnosed with autism. And they sort of saw the show, and they felt like they had a bit more of a sort of a relaxed understanding about it. Like they were quite worried about it.
But that was what I was wondering. Yeah.
Yeah, there's an autistic special school outside of London called the Loddon School, and they came to come and see the show as well, and they actually. And sort of for what the show represents, someone with autism sort of talking about their experiences, sort of growing up and developing, it seemed quite inspiring to sort of do that for sort of the next generation, or to do that for younger people who are trying to navigate their neurotypes.
Yeah.
So yeah, sort of. In summary, I'm surprised at all the comments, but I love how sort of generous and patient everybody's been sort of with the show itself.
Generous and patient seems I mean, it seems like there wouldn't be a need to be generous and patient. It's a great show. You know?
Thank you.
So
Yeah, you enjoyed it. I mean, to be fair, I think was it the first one you came to or the second one? Because there was it busier at the one you saw?
Oh gosh, I'm trying to remember. I think it was the second show of the evening. No, I think it was the first show of the evening because there was a late one, wasn't there? I'm
Yeah,
having
there was a
trouble.
late one.
Yeah, I think I
Yeah,
went around 7 in the evening or something like that, or maybe even
okay, yeah.
earlier.
Oh yeah, because there were quite a few, and I think you might have gotten there like when the football crowd was starting to come in as well. Because
There
like, I
were a
mean,
lot of people there to watch sports. Yeah, I do remember that. The
yeah,
bar was pretty packed.
you get to witness firsthand the football culture of the City of London. Sort of
Yeah.
see how. Yeah, so I mean, in hindsight, doing one that late was a bit of a, I mean, it was a bit of a risk, sort of with the football crowds coming in, but it was not, it's not, it's a good test to sort of see how it does, like in one of those smaller venues, you know, at a busier time, to sort of see if people will come to see it, and again, just sort of having people, and also as well, what I've noticed as well is after the show, a lot of the audience members I've spoken to, they're a lot more open about talking about it, you know, about themselves. My best friend's, like my best friend's sister, she's just started studying at university, but her best friend that she's made there has recently been diagnosed with autism, and she encouraged her to come and see the show. And it was just lovely to sort of get to sort of have like a dynamic conversation after the show about autism, and just sort of be a lot more open about it. And you know, having a lot of my really close friends come to see it, and you know, so and a lot, and we sat down, and they were sort of looking back at their time in high school and people's experiences with autism as well. Because I'm sure it might have been sort of similar for you, sort of when you were at school, but people didn't really sort of have that understanding of it.
No, not at
So
all. We'd never even heard of it.
yeah,
Yeah.
so there was that sort. I think at school, and I think I talk about this in the show. There was that sense of sort of ostracization in the high school setting, where sort of if you're not understood, then you're sort of kept to the side, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and
Yeah.
at a time when I mean, I feel like, you know,
Yeah.
we're all at that age struggling so much to feel accepted, and then you know, even under the best of circumstances, and then when you're dealing with something, being, you know, being neurodivergent and trying to find your way in that, I can't imagine what that is, what that's like. I mean, you
Yeah.
explained it pretty well in your show, but still, you know, to feel it is a is another thing.
Yeah, slightly pseudo aggressively and ranty, but I think I got most of the points across. And I don't know if you remember, I sort of add that sort of like a disclaimer at the beginning of the show. I'm just saying, like, you know, these are my experiences. I'm not saying everybody experiences this, but this is a perspective of autism that maybe you've never seen before. So I sort of make it clear that at the beginning of the show, I go, I'm not saying all autistic people are like this. I'm just saying that this is an experience that is unique to me. You might be able to relate to some of it. You might not be able to relate to some of it. Either way, here it is. If you see something you like, great. If not, then just enjoy yourselves.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, I think it's really great that you framed it in that way because it is. It's important to get a sense of what it's like for neurodivergent people in a general sense, but you know, it we also just want to know about who you are as a person, you know, functioning within what you're dealing with. And that was really what I think ultimately draws people in. You know, it's a show about you dealing with what you're dealing with.
Yeah, it's a show about sort of my sort of having this as a side, as sort of a bit of a part of my personality, and it's sort of affecting sort of who I am every day, sort of affecting my outlook on life, affecting my opinions, my thoughts, my feelings. And because autism is sort of still a subject that, you know, it's treated a lot better nowadays, but to a generation that grew up sort of like my lot with sort of that lack of sort of a, I suppose lack of acknowledgement or a lack of understanding by peers or friends, I think it's a sort of important sort of not to let those observations sort of be swept under the rug. I think it's sort of nice to sort of put those out in the open and say, you know, there was a time when autism wasn't understood. You know, you know, if you look back over the past 10 years or so in schools, if you were a little bit different, you were sort of just pushed to the side.
Yeah.
By a lot of your peers. So, you know, there was a time, and I think I and a lot of other people that identify as autistic at my age sort of had that experience, and we're a product of that generation that had that lack of understanding, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just curious, you must have other friends who are autistic.
I definitely have a lot of other people in my life that are neurodivergent, and definitely, and people I've met over the course of my life that identify as neurodivergent. And it's always really interesting because we can talk about experiences that only we can know about. Like, for example, hypersensitivity. That's something that a lot of people with autism have, you know, being really sensitive to the world. They're just like, oh my God, it's so overwhelming today. Am I right?
Yeah.
And just talking about burning out, talking about masking in a really casual way, because, you know, only we can sort of understand those experiences together. Just like, yeah, try not to burn out today. Oh yeah, me too. I'm burning out hard at the end of this week.
Yeah.
So there's definitely that sense of having something that we can relate to. But then, of course, there's also that reminder that, you know, the world itself, it's not an autism friendly place. The world won't automate itself to suit the needs of those that are neurodivergent. You sort of got to find a way to work yourself into the world in a way where you can understand everything and not become overwhelmed and not fall under the radar, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I'm curious if you have friends, autistic friends, who are also involved in theater, if you've done any collaboration within the arts in that way.
Well, I've definitely worked with others who are neurodivergent. Mm-hmm. So we have these things in the UK. I don't know if you have them in America, called Scratch Nights. They're basically like nights. They're smaller nights in smaller theaters where new writers can promote their work.
Okay.
And I was asked to sort of do a short, a one-man monologue about 10, 15 minutes, about an autistic experience as well. So sort of similar, it was about this guy who grew up, he was a lot more severe on the spectrum than me, but this person was a writer, and he asked me to read in for his things. And also, with a lot of And also there was a project that sort of started at the acting school I studied at, with a few of my friends. We did sort of it was like an American film noir production, but it sort of had subtle underlying messages about autism.
Oh, that sounds fascinating. I'm trying to imagine this.
Yeah, so, you know, you have your typical, like, film noir characters, like, you know, the detective, the dame, the mob boy. It's sort of this, like this sort of noir-y story, but then we have a narrator who's like implied to be autistic, and it sort of breaks the narrative ever so slightly. Like, it breaks the fourth wall. He engages with the piece. He's a bit controlling. He's a bit hyper focused. Like, even the title of that show, it was called An Unexpected Tale in Smoky Midtown, which is an acronym. So if you take the first letters, it sort of has the hidden message in between. But we tried that as a concept, doing something different with autism, and it sort of worked. I mean, we got some fair reviews, I think it's fair to say.
That sounds really, really kooky and super interesting, and like something I would totally want to see.
Yeah, it's definitely like fringe theatre style. So it's a really compact show. There's a lot of multi rolling, a lot of funny accents, me trying to do my best New York accents. Mm. Yeah. So that's, but that was really fun because I was working with a group of actors, the majority of whom were neurotypical, but the fact that they were open to the concept of experimenting with something along the lines of neurodivergence, it really sort of meant a lot to me as somebody on the spectrum or somebody, yeah. I say on the spectrum, a lot of people say different things these days. I grew up with the terminology on the spectrum, and there's that debate as to whether or not a spectrum exists or whether it's referred to as something else. but like the terminology I grew up with was like to refer to myself as being on a spectrum. So I've used that terminology for like over 20 years. So it's a difficult mm-hmm. habit to get out of.
Yeah, I'm not versed at all on the current terminology.
I mean, some will heavily critique you for it. I don't particularly mind this. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember on social media when I first started promoting the show, I put something on social media, and I think I used the terminology of being on the spectrum. I think I used it somewhere in my promotion, and somebody commented on that saying, I hope you're not spreading misinformation about the terminology of being on the spectrum." And so I put in the comments, this experience, it's different for everybody. You know, I use the term on the spectrum, but you're welcome to interpret it however you wish. Like I said, it's subjective. It's up to you mm-hmm. how you look at it. So there's that age old debate about what you refer to it as, I suppose, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like that comes up in so many different areas. I've had that come up with myself, with referring to even my own ethnic background. I've had people try to correct me.
Yeah, it's weird, though, isn't it? You're just like, I think I know myself.
Yeah. Exactly. So, sort of back to the theater scene, London's one of my favorite cities, and I just feel like I could go there every year for a month out of the year and just never see everything that I want to see. And the theater scene there is incredible. And theater is something that I'm just kind of starting to get into. My involvement in the arts has always been much more along the lines of literature and music. But I've just recently I'm sort of falling in love with theater. And so I'm curious what other projects you're currently involved in, and like what's happening within your world in the theater scene there.
I'm doing another run of this show in April.
Yeah,
so,
I just saw that.
Yes, so I'm bringing it back. I'll send you a link to the theatre it's on at. But I'm putting it on at another theatre in April. Okay. It's called the Bridge House Theatre. It's a sort of similar vibe to the Etc. Theatre, like the Black Box Theatre. It's got about 55 seats. It's got a really sort of basic tech setup, but it's a really good theatre. It's really spacious.
Nice.
So I'm very excited to get it on its feet again, sort of with all of the feedback everybody's given us for this show. Mm-hmm. At the moment I'm sort of just trying to audition for sort of anything that comes my way, really, and throwing my CV at the wall, seeing if anything sticks. Uh-huh. Submitting auditions for things. I'm working during the day. I'm sort of working as a performing arts technician, so I'm sort of doing a lot of like lights and sound and video and sort of like audio editing for this place outside of London. So I'm working there at the moment. I think theatre wise, yeah. So as everybody in London is sort of just trying to do different things. Mm-hmm. And sort of in my own time, I like to play guitar. I like to write my own music, and I like to perform that in places. But yeah, it's literally just like everybody, just sort of like, trying my hand, trying to sort of apply for everything, see if anything mm-hmm. comes up.
Tell me about your music.
So I write original music as well. So I started that while I was at university, and I sort of started writing original stuff, like, just for fun, really. And then a friend of mine at university said that she wanted to write a musical, and would I be interested in getting involved?
Wow.
And so I said, yeah, that'd be brilliant. So we sort of just ended up like getting all these musicians together. Have you ever seen a musical called Once?
No.
Like, it has lots of guitars in it. Well, it's sort of a bit loosely based off that. It had like a live band on stage, like playing all the live music, like musicians, like just picking up guitars and just playing something. So a lot of the songs were written by me and this other person, and we were actually lucky enough to perform it at this theatre in the south of England. I'm trying to think of what it's called. Like, it was a room within the theatre, but still, we were the only ones that got that venue. And then from there, it sort of just sort of kept me, you know, kept me writing music. Like even over the COVID lockdown, me and this writer, we would say each other tasks of like, we would give each other themes every week. So, you know, I would get video games and I would give her penguins, and we would have to write a small verse based on that theme. And then eventually it turned into, oh, write a verse and a chorus. And then it says, oh, write the whole thing. And then, All right, if you do this line, you do this bit, I'll do the harmonies, then we can merge it together. So we started to sort of gradually build songs based off that.
Uh-huh. Sounds completely madcap and really fun. Oh, thank you so much for talking with me, for taking the time. I know it's such a challenge scheduling, especially when there's a 7-hour time difference.
Thank you very much as well for reaching out and taking the time to ask me all these questions. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for joining us today. We'll be back next Monday. Tune in.